And we are reading this week in Mark chapter 14, which is an interesting choice, Jeff. It's a lengthy chapter.
It's extremely long chapter.
And not just in terms of verses covered, but...
stories covered.
Material, yeah. I mean, we're running all the way through a good portion of these last few hours of Jesus' life. And so why don't you fill us in on what you're seeing when you choose this as a passage for us to think about being zealous for good deeds.
Right. Well, to be honest, David, the reason I chose this chapter was for one story primarily in this very long chapter, which is actually at the very beginning of the chapter. It's the story of the woman who anoints Jesus' feet in the home of Simon the leper as a good work. But part of, David, why I think it's worth reading, and then we can talk about maybe how it really fits into the chapter and kind of expand our thinking about good works a little bit. You know, we want to read this as some sort of sacrificial act of hospitality. You know, there's outrage that when she anoints his feet, it was very expensive. This could have been sold for 300 denarii. In other words, almost a year of the average worker's wages and given to the poor. And Jesus doesn't, you know, just commend her for the hospitality. He commends her for what he sees not as an act of hospitality ultimately, but worship. What she has done is she has anointed my body before burial. And so truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done, it will be told in memory of her. He saw it as an act of worship and even almost prophetic insight into what he's about to undergo. Because again, in Mark chapter 14, we're at the end of Jesus' life. This is his final couple of days before he's crucified.
It's interesting that that here this woman is doing what we look back on and recognize as a good deed.
But it wasn't seen that way.
Well, okay. Or in the minds of some of these disciples, it seems like they were thinking she should have done a better deed.
Yeah.
Almost as though they're scoring deeds. Well, you know, that's like a C+ doing what you did for Jesus, but you could have done this. You could have sold the money. We could have given to the poor, and that would have been a better work.
Right.
So it makes me wonder a little bit about passing judgments on the good works of others. Maybe there's a cautionary tale there.
Yeah. Or at the very least, we need to make sure that our value system for how we look at good works, even what our own good works or what we should, could, or ought to be doing when we have multiple opportunities before us, we need to make sure it aligns with God's vision and values rather than man's. You know, they saw it as an elaborate waste. And, you know, because quantity, man, you could have fed a bunch of poor people with that money. You know, a year's worth of bread is what we're talking about here. You could have fed, think about all the groceries you buy in a year, give that away to the poor. That's a lot of good if you want to quantify it. And Jesus doesn't see it that way. So, yeah, we do struggle to evaluate good works on God's scale and system from God's perspective even.
So I am left to wonder how the woman perceives her actions, because I think we know how the Lord perceives it as an act of homage and worship to him.
Yes.
And you wonder, and well, let me add, and the foreshadowing that is caught up in this, right?
Yeah.
How much of that do you think she perceives?
Probably not much. I mean, the disciples don't get it, as we're about to see, ironically, in this same chapter.
Yes.
With Peter denying Jesus. I mean, you know, but Peter previously so certain he would die for Jesus. So yeah, I don't think she would be any different than them in sense of, you know, not fully perceiving to the depths what they're involved in, what they're doing. Though I sense that she is probably more inclined to listen to Jesus than the disciples are. Because how many times has he, you know, said he's going to die and they've either not gotten it or ignored it by this point in the story? Whereas I think, you know, the women tend to be the better listeners so often in the Gospels than the men do.
Well, it is the other thing that's interesting about here, interesting to notice here, rather, is the way she contrast with a couple of other players as we go through the chapter. You mentioned Peter.
Yes.
Verse 10 mentions Judas.
Even before Peter, there's Judas.
Yeah, well, and so you mentioned tying this into the rest of the chapter. That is important because we do get how the rest of the story plays out with these two men who are part of the inner circle having these colossal fumbles at this moment,
That's right.
Potentially being among the critics who are criticizing her
yeah.
in this moment. So they almost become the foil to her.
Absolutely.
You and I have talked about this a lot in the gospel, how you have these odds moments where who's in and who's out doesn't fit expectation.
Yes, that's exactly right. And even now, as you're saying that, it kind of makes me think, David, too. You know, part of it, too, is you know, Jesus kind of exposing, because they, you know, given that it's generically those there were kind of, you know, verse 4, though there were some who said to themselves indignantly, you know, could it have been, you know, Peter and Judas grumbling? We know Judas is a thief. Other gospels make clear he's greedy for gain. We get Judas has that weakness. That's why he'll sell Jesus literally. But yeah, you know, Peter also was always quick with his mouth. We see elsewhere in the Gospels, the consequences of not seeing the way God sees, evaluating acts and deeds the way. Because when you, the great warning here, David, is when you don't evaluate yourself correctly, you won't evaluate others correctly. And in other words, until we start seeing ourselves the way God sees us. The Bible's not against judging. It's about judging with righteous judgment. And learning righteous judgment starts with being honest about myself. And so given that Peter overestimates, you know, his ability to hang with Jesus to the end, you know, it's certainly no wonder you got a group of, you know, anonymous people here, presumably they would be in them, not getting what this woman does.
Okay, one last real quick thing. Yeah. We have to mention verse 9, right?
Sure.
Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be spoken in memory of her. And
here we are.
Here we are, that's right. And yeah. So... maybe just as a thought to take away is, instead of looking for the great thing to do, which it seems to me that if you trace the other two guys in the story, Judas and Peter, right?
Yeah.
They were definitely hunting for the great thing. This woman did what she could do and honored the Lord in this way. And to him, that was a big deal. And so this whole idea of how we value work and what's important and what isn't important, maybe we need to get less out of that business and focus on just doing what the Lord wants us to do and honoring him in our works of service, and knowing that even things that are small and inconspicuous, nobody's going to write about it in the paper or put it on their blog, is news in heaven to the Lord, just like what this woman did.
Absolutely.
Ponder that as you read Mark 14 this week.